fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the September 6th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to the bright stars of South Sudan, who shine brightly in the Philippines at the FIBA Basketball World Cup for men. In their debut World Cup appearance, the bright stars won three games, lost two, and finished as the highest-ranked African team in the tournament. As a result, the South Sudanese qualified for next year's 12-team Olympic men's basketball tournament in Paris, France. In South Sudan's capital of Juba, the bright stars received a hero's welcome when they returned home. Manyang David Mayar reports from Juba.
Thousands of joyous fans sang and beat drums at Juba International Airport to welcome the South Sudan's men basketball team following their first appearance at the FIBA World Cup in Philippines, Manila. Nyankwir Garang, one of the fans who risked the rain at Juba International Airport, says the men's basketball team has made South Sudanese proud.
This is just an amazing moment for the country. We don't have a lot to celebrate very often, and this is an incredible opportunity for us to come together and celebrate not as individuals, not as politicians, not as businessmen, but as a country. So it brings us together and it unites us all. So it's a very proud moment for all of us.
South Sudan played against Serbia, Puerto Rico, and China in Group B. The Bright Stars made history by beating China 89 to 69 points before suffering defeat in the hands of Serbia, who beat the Bright Stars 115 to 83 points. Despite their early exit in the group stages, Lual Ding, president of the South Sudan Basketball Federation, says his country's participation at the FIBA World Cup was a great experience.
It was amazing. It's obviously the first World Cup. For us, we are proud as not just South Sudan, but representing Africa to be able to go and win those three games and qualify for the Olympics. I think we want to just, you know, change the narrative, not just for South Sudan, but also for Africa basketball in general. We'll continue to get better, but the main goal is basically to put, you know, Africa on the map, but also to put South Sudan on the map in terms of the talent and everything that we have.
The Bright Stars beat Angola 101 to 78 points in Manila last week, securing a slot in the Paris Olympics in 2024. Rebecca Nyanding de Mabior, South Sudan's vice president in charge of women and youth cluster, accompanies the Bright Stars to Manila. She says South Sudan has potentials to produce more world-class athletes who could bring trophies for the country.
This victory cannot be left like that. We have to continue, and we have to continue supporting this group, this team. Lul Deng have tried to bring them from different clubs. He was supporting them from his pocket. But now we, as the government of South Sudan, as the people of South Sudan, we need to support them. They will bring more than this. And every day we will be hearing the victory.
South Sudan was admitted into FIBA in 2013, 2 years after the country declared its independence. The Bright Stars qualified for the FIBA Basketball World Cup in February 2023. For VOA News, I'm Manyang David Mayar in Juba.
Thank you, Manyang David Mayar. One of the key players for the Bright Stars at the FIBA Basketball World Cup was Chicago Bulls guard Karlik Jones. In five games, he averaged a team-leading 20.4 points per contest, as well as a tournament-leading 10.4 assists each game. The United States, bidding for a record sixth World Cup trophy, advanced to the semifinals by routing Italy 100-63. The Americans were led by Brooklyn Nets forward Mikal Bridges, who scored a game-high 24 points.
I think we just set the tone. That's what we've been preaching. Coach been preaching to us. I think a bench has been doing a pretty good job, but I think the starters kind of just been letting them down a little bit just with a slow start. And that was the whole thing, just to play with force whole 40. Don't wait too late, you know, don't wait till the end. And that's what we did, you know. The coaches got us prepared, and we just playing hungry.
Team USA's head coach, Steve Kerr, won 5 NBA championships as a player and 4 as head coach of the Golden State Warriors. And as a college player, Kerr won a gold medal on the 1996 USA team that won the FIBA World Championship before it became known as the World Cup. Kerr praised his team's defense against the Italians.
Just a great defensive effort. Our guys got after it right from the beginning, put pressure on and kept the pressure on. And the next group came in, did the same thing, and it was our best defensive effort of the tournament to this point, and that's what it's going to take to win 2 more games.
Now let's go to Nigeria's commercial capital of Lagos, where another American basketball coach, Marvin Menzies, is helping train about 50 Nigerian basketball coaches. Menzies is the head coach at the University of Missouri, Kansas City. Iron Mike Mbonye asked Coach Menzies, why did you come here to Lagos?
Well, Mike, you know, the reason I came was to, for several reasons. One is we'd like to continue to develop the youth here in Lagos and the cities beyond in Nigeria. And one way that I've chosen to do that is through educating the coaches. Obviously, for me to go out and try to do a clinic for each academy would be quite taxing. So, with my coaches, Coach Jide, Coach Domingo, and Coach Sampson, we figured the best way to do it was to be to organize. They're all with M Squared Academy. And so the best way to do it, as they suggested, would be, Coach, why don't you come train the coaches, train the trainers? And it just made sense, because that way I can touch a lot of kids without actually going out to each one of the academies and training them.
How many coaches were involved in your program, and for how long did it run?
Well, we've been doing it now this was our 4th session here in Lagos. Okay. But I've been coming back and forth to West Africa since 2000. So what I'm doing now is basically trying to get a series of communications to the coaches on a regular basis. So what we're doing is I physically will come over in between my seasons in Kansas City. I'll come over and have a couple instructions, and then we'll have online Zoom sessions where guys can listen in if they don't have the video, depending on the Wi-Fi strength. And then we record those and put that on our platform, which Coach Sampson and Coach Navigo have set up.
What has the response been like, the program you've been running, the coaching, the coaches?
The response has been great. Like the one thing that I found out was that obviously there's a lot of challenges here, right? From facilities to if you don't have an indoor stadium to perform your clinic, then you got to make sure, you know, the weather is a factor. So there's a lot of potential, you know, bumps in the road. But it seems that every time we are here, God's aware and he blesses the environment. So we had a little rain on the last session, but luckily we had set it up at the Air Force Base, so we had an indoor court to show our practical work, and we did some classroom sessions as well there. But the response has been good. I think this last session we had between 40 and 50 coaches. We had over 90, or just at 90 RSVP, but I think the rain kept some of the guys away.
That's Marvin Menzies, the men's basketball coach at the University of Missouri, Kansas City. And Coach Menzies spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye in Lagos, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Marvin Menzies with UMKC Men's Basketball from the United States visiting Lagos, Nigeria. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks, Coach. And thanks also to Iron Mike Mbonye for that interview. Follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, X, formerly known as Twitter, and at voaafrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My X, formerly known as Twitter handle, is at VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, you can listen online to The Sunny Side of Sports, as well as past episodes. Check out voaafrica.com for lots of Africa news. For world news, go to voanews.com. The Spanish Football Federation has fired women's national team coach Jorge Vilda less than 3 weeks after his team won the Women's World Cup title and amid the controversy involving suspended Federation President Luis Rubiales. The AP's Charles de Ledesma reports.
Vilda was among those who applauded Rubiales when he refused to resign despite facing widespread criticism for kissing player Jenny Hermoso on the lips without her consent. Vilda later said Rubiales' behaviour was improper. Men's coach Luis de la Fuente also applauded Rubiales' diatribe and apologised on Friday for having clapped in what he described as an inexcusable human error. Vilda was at the helm at the World Cup, even though some players had rebelled against him less than a year earlier in a crisis that put his job in jeopardy. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Thanks, Charles. In African men's football, Ghana will host the Central African Republic in Kumasi Thursday in a qualifying match for next year's Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Ivory Coast. It's the final qualifier for both teams. Ghana leads Group E with 9 points from 5 qualifiers. The CAR has 7 points. Joining us now from Kumasi with a preview is Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori. Sporty greetings, Kwabena.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The Black Stars of Ghana will this Thursday, September 7, host their Central Africa Republic counterpart, Wild Beast, in their final round of the Confederation of African Football, CAF, Africa Cup of Nations, AFCON 2023. The final Group E match will be played at the Kumasi Babayara Stadium at 4 p.m. local time. Most of the Ghanaian professionals invited by head coach Chris Hilton arrived in Ghana on Sunday and pitched camp and trained on Monday at the Accra Sports Stadium. The Black Stars on Tuesday traveled to Kumasi and trained on the confirmed venue. Meanwhile, various supporters groups in the country have merged into one strong group and are ready in Kumasi to cheer the Black Stars to victory and qualify to the 2023 Ivory Coast AFCON tournament, which will kick off next January 2024. The Wild Beasts of Central Africa Republic arrived earlier in Ghana last Friday to prepare for the crucial encounter, and their head coach, Raoul Savoy, expressed his team's focus on Thursday's game.
Of course, Ghana is playing at home. It's a favorite one. It's the big team of the group, so for us, it will be very tough. But yeah, we are coming in Ghana to play our game and to try our best to qualify, but we know that it will be not easy at all, and it's a final. You never know, sometimes in final a small one can surprise the big one, but we'll see. Let's see exactly how the game will start and the game will finish, but it's clear that it's a final, and for both teams it will be important this day to be ready and focus on the goal. The main goal is to qualify for the next AFCON. We have to respect all the players and all the teams, especially the big ones, because they, Ghana plays very well in the last World Cup a couple of months ago. So we have to respect all the players and this country and, of course, the team, the Black Stars. That's why it's just a question of fear. It's just a question of respect.
Ghana's head coach Chris Hughton, who had his second training at the Papayara Stadium on Tuesday, said he's sure and ready to qualify the Black Stars to the AFCON 2023 in Ivory Coast.
It's a game that that has to see us qualifying for AFCON. I think I'm aware of that. Every one of our supporters are aware of that, and you are aware of that too. And we will do everything that we can as regards the team, motivation of the team, picking the right team to make that happen.
The man to handle the match, center referee Peter Maweru Kamara, and his two assistants, all from Kenya, and the fourth official, Omar Abdul Kadir of Somalia, arrived in Ghana last weekend and are already in Kumasi for their assignment. Ghana is on top of Group E table with 9 points. Angola is second with 8 points, and Central Africa third with 7 points and is still in contention, while Madagascar down with 2 points. For the Sunny Side of Sports, Kwabena Ofori in Kumasi.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
Turning to tennis, American Ben Shelton has advanced to his first Grand Slam semifinal at the U.S. Open in New York. The AP's Graham Agars reports.
Ben Shelton has reached his first U.S. Open semifinal, and he did it by closing out a tense rollercoaster battle against fellow American Francis Tiafoe. Shelton, despite 11 double faults, still managed to close out the upset win over the 10th seed, securing it 6-2 in the fourth.
Yeah, I think, tonight was a real physical battle. That was the true test. You know, you have Francis Tiafoe on the other side of the court, and you have the weather that you had in there. You know, it was pretty muggy, pretty hot, and 75% of the match, I think both of us were finishing points fairly tired, trying to catch our breath. And end of that third set is when I really had to dig deep. I had a set point at 6-5, went up to the line with heavy legs, and ended up double faulting two times in a row. Got a little bit lucky with a slap shot to get back in control of the breaker. And then, I was just tough the last 2 points. I think that was the key for me tonight, just being tough and being relentless and knowing that I could go the distance physically no matter how bad it hurt. And that was just kind of what I was sticking with.
His reward, a showdown with three-time former champion Novak Djokovic.
Definitely a tough challenge. I think that whenever you play somebody for the first time and someone who's been in this situation so many times and come out victorious so many times, that's in the back of your head, and you just know how, rock solid the guy is and how mentally tough, how physically tough. And so that's definitely something that I have to game plan for. I also think that, it's an advantage with my game style, playing someone who's never played me before. I think that I can bring some things to the table that maybe you don't see in your normal match that you play on the ATP Tour. So I'm definitely going to try to, bring some things to the table that are different and hopefully disruptive. on Friday.
19-year-old Coco Gauff reached her first US Open semi-final with a straight sets win over Yelena Ostapenko. She next takes on the 10th seed, Karolina Muchova.
I felt very good from the start till the end. I felt I had a good feeling with the ball from the baseline. I felt good on the net, slicing and with my all game. I mean, I really like the court and like the atmosphere, and I was enjoying, and I think that like add up a little bit to the game and to the feeling on the court for me.
I'm Graham Agas.
Sporty greetings. This is Masai Ujiri, the president of Toronto Raptors Basketball, president of Giants of Africa Foundation. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Wemby mania sweeping the National Basketball Association. Wemby, the shortened nickname for Victor Wembanyama. For some Wemby analysis, I'm joined by my friend and colleague, Mukbil Yabaro. Sporty greetings, Mukbil.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny.
Mukbil, for someone out there who hasn't seen Wemby play, they don't know his size, his skills. How would you describe him to our audience?
He most likely is going to be the tallest player playing in the NBA next year. And when we think tall, sometimes we think Boban. We don't think necessarily agile, doesn't really have a dribble per se. But this kid is, he's a unicorn, honestly, to say the least. You know, 7'4 with probably like an 8-foot wingspan. He has a good handle for the ball. His touch is amazing around the basket and beyond. His three-point shooting is stellar. He's got a nice stroke. I believe he even participated in a three-point all-star contest in Europe for his team, Metropolitans 92. And at one point, he scored like four or five straight. So it goes to show you his shooting is really good as well. He is going to be a staple for this new San Antonio Spurs rebuild.
There is some concern about Wemby's weight in sneakers. I guess he's almost 7 feet, 5 inches tall. As you said, probably the biggest player in the NBA now, but he's very thin. Do you see maybe Coach Popovich taking some protective measures so he doesn't get hurt?
Yeah, I think, you know, with an investment like Wemby, you have to make sure you put the right pieces around him in order for him to succeed. He really hasn't been a true five, right? He's not really a center. He doesn't really bang in the post. That's not his style. I think in order for you to get the best production out of him, you have to play him at a stretch four and have an actual orthodox center play in there so he can kind of bang with the Jokic's and the Embiid's of the world where you let Wemby do what he does best and stretch your floor out. I think that'll be where he will be the most successful. And also having him play that stretch four position will allow him to come off the ball and play help defense for those players as well to be able to help with shot blocking and rim protecting.
Mukbil, talk a little bit about Coach Popovich's influence. He's already developed and produced two Hall of Fame big men in Tim Duncan and David Robinson. He has coached several international players on the Spurs, including Manu Ginobili from Argentina. You know, he's quite familiar with this international presence. How do you see him sort of mentoring Wemby?
I think he couldn't have went to a better organization, honestly. There's a picture of Wemby when he was a kid with a Tony Parker jersey as a child, you know. So it just goes to show you the level of influence that the Spurs have had on the international game, because they were, you know, they went international really fast. A lot of the other teams always had stars that were more American-born. And it kind of shows you that this kid really went to the San Antonio Spurs. You know, obviously they lucked out in the lottery, but he couldn't have went to a better team with a better coach like Popovich, and he's going to kind of just put him in the best possible position to win and be successful. As an organization, the San Antonio Spurs have shown year in and year out that, you know, they are one of the few franchises in the league that have a no-nonsense policy. You come in there, you do work, you put your head down, and you will be successful if you listen, and obviously, you know, you can stay healthy.
I talked about, you talked about Coach Pop's influence. What about Wemby's family? They've been a big influence. His parents, both athletes. I was researching a little bit. His mother coaches basketball. His grandparents both played basketball. And we saw his brother and sister there on draft night.
Seems like, you know, he's very grounded. He has an amazing foundational, he has a great foundation within his family. Like you mentioned, the sister and the brother were there to support him as he got drafted on draft night. The kid all around just looks like a very humble young man with his head on right. He's willing to become the face of a franchise and a role model for kids alike. I think he wants to take this challenge on, and I'm very excited to see what he's able to do.
I'm talking with Mukbil Yabaro about Victor Wembanyama, Wemby, the top pick in the NBA draft. Wemby comes into the NBA with lots of excitement. Mukbil, only 19 years of age, but already a professional.
Yeah. You know, the professional game in Europe and abroad, honestly, is so much so that some of these younger players are getting to go professional at 16, 17 years old. Luka, right? Luka was playing professional at 16 years old.
That's
so
right.
It just goes to show you that, you know, the rest of the world is catching up.
Yeah. Wemby, of course, will probably be the man entering the this early part of the NBA season. What about the comparisons with, like, Durant? Do you see him as a Durant-type player?
I could see the comparisons when it comes to them both being lankier, longer arms, shooting the ball from a certain, you know, angle and such things. But I think because of his, you know, height discrepancy, right? He's got probably 5 inches on Durant, which is crazy because Durant is a borderline 7-footer. For him to be able to have that additional height and additional wingspan makes it that much harder for, you know, anyone really to shot block him. And he's very fluent in the jump shot. So I definitely feel as though he has been, you know, watching the taller guys, you know, play as he's been, you know, coming up. So I'm pretty sure Kevin Durant has been an inspiration of his as they had the same build. But he's just a little bit taller.
This kid, Wemby, basically can dribble the ball like a point guard.
He dribbles the ball very well. And like you said, I think he just runs more fluid. We're so used to seeing players get to a certain height and kind of looking almost robotic in their movements, whereas this kid is like he's running like a regular guard, you know. So it's so interesting to see the development of players, and this also moves into the sports science conversation as well. You know, players and trainers, and how kids are being able to, you know, regardless of their height, be able to play this positionless NBA and positionless basketball nowadays, whereas your skill sets will show regardless of what position you naturally would have fit into.
Now, one of the reasons San Antonio got Wemby was because they had one of the worst teams in the league last year. They, I think they won 21 games. I'll put you on the spot a little bit, Mukbil. As Wemby heads into his rookie season in the NBA, how many wins do you think San Antonio will get with a healthy Wemby in the lineup?
Yeah, that's a great asterisk you put on there. With a healthy Wemby, I think 40-plus. I think they could be a 40-plus win team. Then within the next year following that should have a 50-plus win team. I really have a lot of hope in this young man's trajectory, his ceiling, the organization, and how they're going to be able to build talent around him as well. So I'm super excited to see. So if I were to guess, I would say a 40-plus win season. You know, the West is deep. It's very difficult and challenging. But, yeah, I think 40 40-plus wins would be a really, really good turnaround for them from one season to the next.
Muckbill Yabaro, thank you, my man.
Thank you so much for having me, Sonny.
And that wraps up the September 6th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.